Well, somebody charged me with bringing the rain. I apologize for that. Thought I was going to have to get a boat to make it the rest of the journey. It was rough. We've had a lot of water. You know, I guess if we didn't have any water, though, we'd be fussing about that, wouldn't we? It's a blessing that we've been blessed with. We're thankful for the sweet privilege of being able to come and worship with you. And do ask an interest in your prayers for the time we'll stand before you. If you have your Bibles and Psalms in the 148th division, it's amazing how the Lord works. On the way over here, I told my wife, I said, I got something pressing on my mind. I just don't know exactly why. Then as Brother Philip opened the services and Brother Dan's prayer seems to be of the Lord. So I'd ask that you pray for us. In Psalms 148, in the first verse, it says, praise you, the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels, praise ye Him, all His host. Praise ye Him, sun and moon, praise Him, all ye stars of light. When you consider this, and you consider the heavens, when you consider just how great God is, who said, let there be light. Then a few days later, He creates the sun, moon, and the stars. It's amazing. And the stars being just the finger work of God. That is unbelievable. When you have a good, clear winter night, when the air is crisp and seems like you can see forever, good dark spot out in the swamp somewhere, and you can see the stars, the handiwork of God. It's amazing to think, you know, we thought we were really smart, and then we got to the point where the scientists said, well, you know, we really can't number the stars. No kidding. Good Lord told us that a long time ago, didn't He? Yeah, He can't number them. They just make a guesstimation. Still don't know exactly how many there are. I'm thankful that His children are more numerous than the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. Brother, I want you to know that we've got a gospel that reaches every case. Isn't that good news? Our gospel is the broadest gospel there is because it accompanies every little child of promise, every little child of grace. We don't have to have buckets, brethren, because there's one bucket. That's Jesus Christ. And this creation, the sun, the moon, and the stars, He said this creation praises it. You know, when you look at creation, it praises God. I've cleaned an awful lot of critters. Brother Wynn and I was talking to dinner. He said, you like hunting? I said, man, if it's got feathers, if it flies, if it crawls, or if it swims, I like it. I'm after it, and I want to eat it. You know, I enjoy it. And I've dressed an awful lot of animals in my day. And you know, the most amazing thing is they all have the same similar parts. Reckon why that might be. It might be because the same fella that made the deer made the rabbit. Right? Same one that made the rabbit made the squirrel and turkeys and the fowl there, and so forth, so on. There's not anything that was made without Him. And by Him, everything was made. I heard a story told one time. I read this account. I didn't hear it. I read it. There was I believe it was Newton anyway. He built a replica of the universe and had it sitting in the parlor room. They used to call them parlor rooms. They started calling them living rooms because they want people keeping bodies lying in state in the living room. So they want you to come to the funeral parlor. That's where all that comes. But nonetheless, in the parlor room, he had this replica of our solar system had been created. And his scientist friend comes over to the house and he looks over there in the corner. And he sees this box covered up with a large drape. He goes over and uncovers it, and he sees a crank on the side of it. He begins to crank it. And of course, the guy's smart enough to determine that what he has got here is an exact replica of our solar system with the exact pattern of how the planets not only orbit but also rotate. And he comes in, his dear friend says, man, where'd you get that from? Did you make that? He said, no, it just appeared over in the corner. And the guy said, well, somebody had to make that. And he said, do you realize how foolish it is for you to understand that somebody had to make this one, but you deny that somebody made the one that is just a model of? Yeah. You see, I'm going to tell you that this creation praises His name, the sun, the moon, the stars. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. You see, who we serve is I Am. That's who we serve. Without beginning, without end, God. That's hard to comprehend sometimes. But we serve I Am. Before this earth ever was, before time ever started, God was. And He spoke this world into existence. You see, there's a lot of things I would like to accomplish. My wife, she's here with me, and she can give testimony. I've got honey-do lists that I would like to get done. And I would like to bring those things to pass. But the problem is, there's a lot of things that I purpose and intend on doing that I just don't get around to, you see. But the good Lord, when He purposes it, He brings it to pass. When He speaks it and commands it, it comes to pass. You see, we're speaking of one here, and we're learning of one, and we're praising one who has power to speak this world into existence. Heard one time there was a German scientist was going to create an egg. And he did. I mean, he created something that, he didn't really create anything. He just put together what God had already created, but in the resemblance of an egg. But how long you reckon a chicken have to set on that thing for it to hatch? It never would, you see. There was no life in that. He created something that looked like it, but God, when He spoke this world into existence, He spoke into existence a full-grown world. It had to be, otherwise Adam wouldn't have had anything to eat, and he'd have died before the fruit ever was made, you know. He made a full-grown man, full-grown world. That brings to pass, you know, the old saying, which came first, chicken or the egg? That one's easy. Full-grown chicken. Made a full-grown man. Surely made a full-grown chicken. He spoke those things into existence. Because we're speaking to one who, when He commands, it comes to pass. And if we can comprehend that in creation, and you know, still today, most all religions across, you know, Christian religions, and they use that broadly these days, but most all Christian religions, still, right now, at this point, I've heard of some that have departed, but most of them understand God of creation. And the way He brings that to pass is by His command. Is it so hard to understand the same God that spoke this world into existence, the same one that speaks into your heart and brings life? The hour is coming now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear have the capacity to. No, that's not what it says. They that hear shall live. Why? Because this God is a creator God, you see. This God spoke this world's existence. And I'm going to tell you, He's worthy to be praised before the creation. He's worthy to be praised in the creation. And that which was created by Him ought to and should praise Him. That's what's being set forth right here. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. We done got to a lot of stuff now, things, right? He said, let them praise the Lord. You know, I love getting out and enjoying God's creation. I really enjoy getting out. I could spend all my life. We was coming over today and we came through Montgomery. And boy, they've got some of the prettiest Spanish moss hanging off some of them old trees. And I'll tell you, it's just gorgeous to me. I'd love nothing more than to be in a swamp. But my wife, she hates snakes, so we had to stay away from the swamps. We can't live there. But I like visiting them from time to time and just to view the creation of God and the majesty and the beauty of it. You know, some of the most beautiful paintings that I like are where somebody has tried to replicate a scene that God's already created. I like nature paintings. I really enjoy those. There's nothing like seeing a big old white-tailed buck on a foggy, cold morning. I mean, that's one of the most beautiful things to see. And it's amazing that all these things praise God. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalted the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto Him. Praise ye the Lord. Even of the children of Israel. I'll tell you, when you look at this, and let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. You know, one of the things that I think about is when I was a young man coming up, my grandfather always told me, son, be careful where you take that name. He said, because we worked really hard to have a good name. And it doesn't take but one mess up to ruin a good name. You know, that's the name of my grandfather. He told me he wanted me to be cautious where I carried that name. But I want you to understand something, brethren, that there's a name we bear about that's far more important than that name. And it's a name above every other name. And that name alone is excellent, you see. We bear about the name of Jesus Christ. We are called ambassadors of Christ. You know what an ambassador is? It's a fearful thing if you really stop and contemplate it a minute. It's a representative. Have you ever pondered how you represent that name? I mean, really stop and take inventory of how you represent the name of Jesus Christ. How you deal with folks, you know. There's a lot of times we kind of like that old Pharisee. We'll see a fella over in the ditch, looks pretty rough. We might get on the other side of the road, mightn't we? So we don't have to go by him. We might avoid him. Oh, but I'm going to tell you, he that bears about this name that is excellent, you know where he found us? He found us in a ditch, brethren. That's just a grave with both ends knocked out. Unswaddled, unsalted, polluted in our own blood. And he loved us when we were yet in that state. Oh, brethren, I'll tell you, his name is excellent. By his name and his work and his accomplishment, brethren, I'm going to tell you, he took some old nasty, filthy folks that had polluted themselves and cleaned us up. And then though our sins were as crimson, you know, folks over in Alabama don't like to talk about crimson being sinful. but he says, though our sins were crimson, we've been washed and made white as snow, you see. We've been cleaned up. I'll tell you, he's worthy to be praised, brethren. He's worthy to be praised here. And he says here that he's worthy to be praised by this whole creation. Now, I want to go over and grab another instance, if you will, in Luke. Here we have in creation, he's worthy to be praised because his name alone is excellent. In the 19th chapter of Luke, you will find here that the Lord is drawing nigh until that appointed time. And he sent the apostles into the city, and he's told them to go and to fetch a colt of an ass, whom never man had ever sat upon. This is an unbroken colt, you see. This colt hadn't even been started, you understand? This colt is good for nothing but to eat grain. I don't, if you've ever broke horses, you'll know what I'm talking about. They'll hurt you. That's what this colt was. He was wild as a March hare. This colt, the Lord sent the apostles to go and to fetch this colt, and they bring it back. And you know, it's an amazing thing. The Lord gets on this colt, who never man had ever sat upon, and the colt never bucked or kicked or threw him. There's a lot to contemplate in that. One time when I was younger, I saw a man Paul Daly was his name anyway. He lived in Louisiana somewhere, and he came over to Jackson, Mississippi, was having a cattle show. And his gospel was a little off. He didn't quite understand exactly what he was doing, but he would take a wild horse that somebody couldn't fool with, and he would take and put that horse in a round pen, and within 2.5 hours, he would get on that horse and ride. Never seen anything like it in my life. Because I'm telling you, I spent weeks on end mending bruises in my life. And this guy, after 2.5 hours, would get on this horse, ride him around that round pen.
and then open the round pen up and ride him out in the parking lot with all this racket and horns and cars and everything else going. It's the most amazing thing to watch. And I began to think about how it is when the Lord puts us in His round pen. This man put this horse in this round pen. He began laboring with this horse, and he was working it, and he was making him move left and right, and making him stop, making him rest, making him work. And he was working with this horse, and eventually he got on his back. You know, this colt right here never was worked in the round pen. Never worked on a lunch line. Never ridden. Never broken. But the good Lord got upon his back and never bucked or kicked. You know, it's amazing how wild we can be. How corrupt we can be in our own nature. But when the Lord calls us into His service because He has a purpose for us, how He makes us submissive. It's amazing how the Lord works in our life. This coat, they throw their garments upon this coat and they put the Lord upon this coat and they're walking into the city. And I want you to understand, brethren, that they call this the triumphant entry. That's what a lot of people call it. That ain't the triumphant entry. I'm looking for that one. Ain't going to be riding a donkey. James. I'm looking for that one when the skies roll back. That's going to be when the triumphant entry is when he went up with a shout. Y'all know why he went up with a shout? He was victorious, brethren. He went up with a shout, you see. Here he's getting ready. He's going in. They know what's fixing to happen. They headed to Jerusalem. They know what's going to take place. There's no doubt in their mind. And they're headed in. And he's nearing to the time that he should be offered up. And here they go. They went and they got the colt. Let's see about Luke 19, verse 35. They brought him to Jesus. They cast their garments upon the colt. And they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. That's amazing in and of itself, if you know anything about horses. One time I about got my neck broke because a plastic bag blew across a place I had a horse I was working. And he went slap nuts because a plastic bag blew across the way. Here they are. You ever tried to get a horse across a bridge that's never been across one? They don't like them. And here these people are throwing garments out before this colt. And this colt never staggers, never stumbles. I'm telling you, the power of God's amazing. Sometimes we take for granted these little things, but I'm going to tell you, brethren, it was an amazing thing that this colt never faltered because he's walking on ground that he can't see. And I'm going to tell you, donkey likes to see the ground they're stepping on. That's why horses don't like crossing water because they can't see the bottom if you've ever tried to cross a horse in water. But anyway, they went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." That sounds awfully familiar, doesn't it? Here we have Jesus is approaching unto His death. And the declaration made is, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Let's back up to the second chapter of Luke. Here we have Jesus Christ being praised as He's going up to be offered on our behalf. Let's back up to the second chapter of Luke. 8th verse. "And there were the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Surely He's worthy to be praised in His birth. He's worthy to be praised before creation and in creation. He's worthy to be praised as He goes up to be offered on Golgotha's hill on our behalf. Brethren, I'm persuaded the Lord's worthy of praise every day that we're blessed to draw breath. You see, He's worthy of praise for all of eternity. Don't you think He's worthy of praise today? Yes, brethren. Not just one point in time is He worthy of praise, but I'm going to tell you, He's worthy of praise from before creation, because after all, He's the beginning and the end, everything in between. He's worthy of praise every aspect. Now, we go back over here, we see this declaration made that surely shows us that God is worthy of praise. And He's worthy of praise to all people. What all people are under consideration? Well, Jews and Gentiles alike. That's what He's talking about here. That's what's under consideration. Because if you contemplate and go into Scriptures in the 13th chapter of John, the 3rd chapter of John, I was going to 16, it got ahead of me. But anyway, for God so loved the world. All right, now let's go to the 17th chapter of John. In the 17th chapter of John, you want to find the Lord's Prayer, you'll find it here. You want to see a model prayer, you go back. Anyway, Lord's Prayer right here, 17th chapter of John. He says, I pray not for the world. Now, you got some serious issues now. He either loved the world and died for the world. Over here he says, I pray not for the world. But you know he qualifies that statement. He says, I pray for those that thou hast given me out of the world. Now what's the world in consideration over in John in the 3rd chapter? That world is both Jews and Gentiles, brother, because I'm going to tell you that our Savior has a people of every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe. That's what's under consideration over there. If you make that world something else, then boy, you've really got a mess now to have to try to deal with. Because now you're going to have one that Jesus Christ shed His blood for that's going to be separated from Him. Well, then you go to the 8th chapter of Romans, and we understand that we can't be separated from the love of God. So you got a world of hurt. You see, you're going to be as confused as you're going to be confused as a mosquito in a mannequin factory. You're going to be in bad shape. You see, you got to understand what the world is. Now, here, what He's talking about, these all people, these are the people that's in the 17th chapter, He's going to clarify in the very beginning of that. Go back up in the beginning of that. He says, I thank Thee, Father, that Thou hast given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given me. I'm going to tell you, that's the people right here that's under consideration. We ought to be praising His matchless name because we're His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now watch what He goes on. He says, now here, and some of the Pharisees from among the multitude, here they are making this great declaration. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Why? Because the Lord of Lords and King of Kings is coming down this way. Because Lord of Lords and King of Kings came this way. Great proclamation of peace made here. Some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said to Him, Master, rebuke Thy disciples. He said, don't let them be saying that about You. That's blasphemous. Don't you let them say that about You. Look what the Lord says. He answered and said to Him, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. I got news for you, folks. His whole creation praises His name. But there's something special about this creation. This creation. Something special about this creation. I'm going to tell you, you can't find anything on the planet. I had a conversation with a young lady the other day. She told me, there wasn't no such thing as a dinosaur. I said, you've never read Job. You ever heard of a behemoth? Well, they didn't call him a dinosaur. I said, well, he got a tail like a cedar and drinks up a Jordan in one gulp. That sounds like a dinosaur to me. He's mighty big. He had armor on him. Yeah, brethren, that sounds like a dinosaur to me. All the beasts of the field, God spoke into existence. Then He breathed the breath of life in Adam's nostrils. And he became a living soul. I want you to know that the transgression that Adam made didn't just impact Adam. You know, prior to Adam's transgression, you wouldn't have to worry about hoeing in your garden. Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, no thorn or thistles. I mean, you just walk through there and get what you want, need it. But because of Adam's transgression, the whole creation was impacted. Every bit of it. But there's something special about you. There's something peculiar about His children. over in 2 Peter and the 3rd chapter, the 9th verse. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord becomes a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That sounds like consumed to me. You know, by the way, I think it tells us this, then cometh the end when the kingdom shall have been delivered up. If you're looking for the kingdom to come down, folks, I'm telling you, you're a little late. And when the end comes, the kingdom ain't coming down, it's going up. I have a clear picture of that over in Thessalonians when he tells me that we're not to be ignorant. Why? Because the Lord's coming back. And He's coming back, and we that are alive and remain are going to be changed a moment in the twinkle of an eye. And you know what? We're going to meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Why? Because this place is going to be folded up like a vesture. That's what it says. It's going to melt with a fervent heat. It's going to be consumed, burned up. You ever burn something up? Well, if you burn it up, ain't nothing left to burn. It's gone. It's consumed. He says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. You know, I've never seen sugar cubes in all my life. We didn't have that when I was growing up. Mama didn't buy sugar cubes. I mean, you're doing good to get it out of the canister to have plain old granulated sugar. We went off somewhere and they had sugar cubes, and me and my brothers thought that was the greatest thing. It was like candy by the coffee pot. Well, when you put them things in your mouth, they dissolve. That's the problem. They go away really fast. So you eat them really fast, and folks will run out of sugar in a hurry. And they get upset when they run out of sugar, and they don't have to go with their coffee. But it's dissolved. You understand? The point is, it's gone when it's dissolved. He says, this is going to be dissolved. No more. Seeing then that all these things should be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to His promise look for new heavens, new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, I want you to contemplate this. I want you to consider what's being said here. He said, if these men were to hold their peace, the stones would cry out praise. Brethren, I got news for you. Jesus Christ did not come and shed His meritorious blood for stones. Not them out there. He did for some lively stones. Now, don't get me wrong. But He didn't shed His meritorious blood for the cattle of the field, for the sun, the moon, or the stars. Nevertheless, they praise His name. Now, considering when that day comes, that we're going to be gathered up and carried home to be with our Father for all of eternity because He died for you. How much more should we praise Him while we draw breath? How short do we fall? I mean, I'm going to tell you, when you really contemplate the fact that He loved us when we were unlovable. You understand that? When we were yet enemies, He died for us. God, He doesn't wait for us to clean ourselves up. Isn't that good news? Because if He did, He'd be waiting for all of eternity. We'd never get there, would we? He doesn't wait for us to clean ourselves up. But brother, what I want you to understand is He cleans us up. He comes to where we are. It reminds me of a story I heard one time. There was a new preacher moved into town. This makes a lot of sense. New preacher moved into town. He was looking for the post office. He was walking over a bridge into town, heard some racket coming out from under the bridge. He looked over underneath the bridge. There were some little boys down there shooting dice underneath the bridge. He didn't know what they was doing at the point. He said, where's the post office at? And they said, what? He said, where's the post office at? They still couldn't hear him as much racket going on down there. So he walked down there and he gets the little boys, they shooting dice. He said, I was trying to find out where the post office is. He said, but if you boys, if y'all don't quit shooting them dice, you're going to bust hell wide open. Won't y'all follow me, and I'll show you how to get to heaven. And one little fella standing over there popped his thumbs up in his overalls. He said, you boys can follow him if y'all want to, but if he can't find the post office, I am pretty sure that he's not going to be able to find heaven and mortal glory. Now, you may say, I jest, but brethren, I want you to contemplate the trueness and the sincerity of that statement. Brother Dan, if I had to take you to heaven tonight, I don't know where I'd go, brother. But I know one who does. You know why? Why I know one that does? Because, brother, God loved you so much that He didn't send some old plowboy preacher for you. He didn't send Brother Peter for you. He didn't send Paul for you. He didn't send Moses for you. He didn't send Isaiah. The list goes on and on. Put a blank there and put any name in there you want. He didn't send Brother Philip for you. He didn't send Brother Luke for you. It doesn't matter. Plug it in. He didn't send Billy Graham for you. I've saved just as many souls as he has. None. Oh, but brother, I get to preach the glorious gospel of Him that has delivered every one of His little children. Isn't that a glorious thought? This Jesus, brethren, right here, He delivered everyone. He doesn't miss a single one. If He did, you couldn't call Him a Savior because He skipped one. If He did, you couldn't call Him a Redeemer because there was one He was unable to redeem. I'm going to tell you, He's our prophet, He's our priest, He's our king, He's our Savior, He's our kinsman redeemer, He's Lord of lords and King of kings. But brethren, most of all, He's the Son of God who came down from glory for His children. Man. And He come for us when we were undeserving. You understand that? And He come for us when we were enemies of God. Not when we loved God. When we were enemies of God. You know what an enemy is? You got any enemies in your life? You do, whether you know you do or don't. You got them. You got an adversary out there, whether you know you got him or not. He's out there as a roaring lion walking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. You got some enemies. And let me tell you something, brethren. Your enemy is not working for your good. Not only you got an enemy out there, you got an enemy right here. You look in the mirror. Let no man think when he's tempted of God. For God can't be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But when you're tempted, you're drawn away of your own lust. And when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Brethren, you got temptation to deal with in your life? Go look in the mirror. That's where that comes from. This old sinful flesh, that's where it comes from. That's where we're tempted and drawn away. You got an enemy yet within your very being. That's why Paul said there's a warfare going on. He'd be locked up today and put in a rubber room. When I would do good, evil's present with me. That I would do, that I not. And you know, somebody would think he had a split personality. Isn't that the way with us? Yes, brethren. Why? Because the spirit warreth against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit. These two are contrary one to another. You know what contrary means? Well, they're not working together. If I didn't have any other verse other than that one, that ought to solve the debate. They're not working together. Your flesh is working against you. That means it's your enemy. So what I want you to understand is that when we were yet enemies, and that means we were against God, diametrically opposed to God, He loved us. And He loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son. How much more should we praise His Master? Brother, He's worthy to be praised by the creatures and the creation that's going to be consumed with a fervent heat. How much more worthy of praise is He due by us who will sing His glorious praises in all of eternity? You know, we ought to get a good start now, aren't we? We ought to get the best start we can get. And I think we are. I've never heard whatever you're doing tonight you're going to be doing for the rest of the year. But I'll tell you, that'd be a good thing if we found serving the Lord for the rest of the year. And may we do so more fervently. Why? Not to get something, brethren. But because we understand what great and wondrous things that the Lord has done on our behalf. If that don't motivate you to a godly living, I don't know what will. I mean, when you come to the understanding that God's grace was shown upon you when you were undeserving of the least of it, if that don't motivate you to godly living, this preacher can't help you. Can't do it. Why? No, brethren, because we understand what He's done for us. We have this blessed peace. The dear brother was praying that we revealed these truths that we can rejoice in of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And in knowing that, considering that these things should all be melted with a fervent heat, what manner of men ought we to be? You know, when you really stop and you contemplate and you consider what Jesus Christ accomplished on our behalf, you understand, brethren, He accomplished and secured eternal redemption. You know, over in Hebrews 9, He says eternal redemption. Reckon why He says that? Because I'm going to tell you, there's some deliverance for you while you live here, too. There's some redemptions and some saving that you can enjoy right now. It's kind of like when they got over there, told Moses, they'd get across, said, turn around, stand still, look upon the salvation of the Lord this day. Didn't sound like it was going to be tomorrow, brother. It was right then. It was a right now salvation. Over in Peter, we find out there's a right now salvation for God's children. He said, the like figure went through baptism doth also now save us. And He clarified. He said, not the washing away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. You know what He compared that to? He says, wherein 8 souls were saved by water. He's talking about the flood. All right, when you go back to the flood and you consider that Noah and his family, did the flood take them all the way to glory? Well, if it had, we wouldn't be here tonight. Right? Everything else was destroyed. But that water lifted them up above the destruction of this old earth. And I'm going to tell you that, brethren, just as sure as every promise of God, this one's sure too. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I'm going to tell you, it's good. Isn't it a blessing? From time to time, you feel like you've done something that was acceptable. It's not very often, but we ought to be striving for it every day. That we've done something that's acceptable unto the Lord. I'm going to tell you one thing I know that we can do that's acceptable unto the Lord is offering up the praise of our lips. You know, we have opportunity to come together and worship. You know, spending time with folks is good for you. I went to see a dear friend of mine weekend before last. I knew he was lonely. I knew it had been a little while without seeing some of his brethren, and I went to see him. He said, brother, it was good that y'all have been here. I said, it's good that I've been here. He said, it done me some good. Why? Because we got to spend some time fellowshipping one another. I'm going to tell you something, brother. There's nothing to do you more good than spending some time with the Lord. You know, the more time you spend with the Lord, the more it seems to rub off on you. Isn't that amazing? You know, when I leave the meeting house, I don't feel like going off and sinning. I don't know about y'all, but I don't feel motivated to sin. I feel good. I got my batteries charged. I'm ready to go out there and face whatever foe there might be. Now, come see me as the week goes on. It might get a little different. But isn't it wonderful when you get to go to these big meetings and, man, you got an associational meeting, and I'm telling you, the Lord is blessing. You feel like you could face anything. Oh, Brother Ronnie said his daddy used to say, swing over hell on a rotten grapevine singing Amazing Grace, you know. I don't care what it might be, but I'm going to tell you, you feel like you could face any foe that you've got because you've been with the Lord. You know, there's a promise in God's Word that's just as sure as any other promise, and that promise is this, that when we come together in spirit and in truth for the purpose of worshiping and praising God, over in Hebrews in the 2nd chapter, you know what he says? He said, in the midst of the congregation would I declare thy name unto my brethren. Oh man, I'm going to tell you, it's good when you spend time with the Lord. And I want you to know that there's a place that the Lord says He'll meet you. And that place is in the midst of the congregation. So you know what our heart's desire ought to be in the year to come? Lord, just let me be a doorkeeper. I don't care what it is. I just want to be there. I want to be close by where the saints are gathered that I might reap some of the benefits and eat some of the crumbs that fall off the Master's table. That ought to be our desire in our heart, brethren. Because I'm going to tell you, the more time we spend with the Lord, the better off we're going to be. And as we face the day, let us consider Him, I think it says over in Hebrews, let us consider Him who endures such contradiction of sinners against himself. You know, it's easy sometimes to get wearied and faint in our minds. It's great news that we've got peace, though, brother. I'm going to assure you that it is absolute awesome news that we have peace. Over in Colossians, in the 16th verse, first chapter, 16th verse. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. You know what that means? He comes first. That's what preeminence, doesn't he? That's a real big word to mean he comes first. He comes first in every aspect. I got news for you. You want to be the church member you're called to be? Put the Lord first. You want to be the pastor you're called to be? Put the Lord first in every aspect. You want to be the husband that you're called to be? You know who you need to put first? The Lord. You want to be the wife you're called to be? Hey, anything, go on and plug it in there. If it's good, righteous, and just, plug it in there. He ought to have the preeminence. Oh, may that be our first thought when we arise in the morning, our last thought when we go to bed. Might we be thinking about what great things Jesus has done for us. Y'all ever thought about that model prayer over there? I've been reminded of it here of late. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's scary. That's scary. When we consider how merciful the Lord's been unto us, isn't it a lot easier to be gracious to you, brethren? When we consider we were not deserving of the least of His mercies, He ought to have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross. We've got peace this evening, brethren. And the reason we have peace is not because of some proclamation or declaration that you've made, but it's because of the work of His cross, His work, and His work alone. We have peace in heaven right now. That's glorious. Beloved, right now, are we the sons of God? That blows my mind. Right now, we're the sons of God. He speaks to us as though we're already glorified. Why? Because of the blood of His cross. By Him to reconcile all things in Himself. By Him I say, whether they be things in earth, things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Why do we need to consider it? He goes on over there in Hebrews. We'll go back over there in Hebrews 2. Because He was made just a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. That He should taste death for every man. He should taste death for every man. In the 15th chapter over there in Corinthians, we'll find that He's consumed it. Oh, death, where's that sting? Oh, grave, where's that victory? Why? We have victory. Why? Because Jesus Christ has consumed it. Every whit. Every whit. If He left any for you, we'd have been in bad shape. We have to contemplate those things from time to time. We need to remember. In 2 Corinthians in the 8th chapter, the reason it's important for us to remember this is lest we be wearied and faint in our own minds. You know, sometimes it gets difficult, doesn't it? Sometimes it gets hard. You know, if it was easy to walk in, they wouldn't call it the straight way, would they? I try to tell You know, I coach football back home, and just one of my hats I wear, but I try to tell them if it's worth attaining, it's worth working toward. If it was easy to have, if everybody would have it, and it wouldn't be worth a whole lot. Take inflation for consideration. Dollar bill used to mean a whole lot, didn't it, Brother Dan? Don't mean a whole lot today. I mean, used to, for a quarter, you could actually get something. I think people just pass by them on the streets today because they're not worth a whole lot. But the fact of the matter is, if it was easy to attain, everybody would have it and it wouldn't be that precious. But I'm going to tell you, brother, there's a straight way that we're called to walk in. And that, you know what that means? Narrow, difficult. That means difficult. It's difficult. It's difficult to sacrifice some of the things because we're so distracted. We got so much stuff and fluff, man. You can be distracted. You know, I guarantee you, I don't know what time, there's folks right now, where I come from, you going to have a meeting tonight? No. The Crimson Tide's playing tonight, Brother Luke. We're not meeting tonight. There's all kind of, I'm not saying the brethren are at 5 miles. Y'all recording that. I'm not saying the brethren are at 5 miles, but I'm telling you there's folks that let stuff get in the way. And it's easy to do. But you know, we need to be careful what things we stack up there, because we need to remember who it is that's called us into a service. And we need to be cautious what things we put up, because they might be taken down. So we need to be extremely cautious what things we let hinder us from doing that which we're called to do. And I'm going to tell you, there's no doubt what we're called to do. One of the things that help you be mindful of that is found right here in 2 Corinthians 8 chapter. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be made rich. I'm going to tell you, there's so much good in that. When you start contemplating that thought, when you start examining that particular thought, you can plug just about anything in there you want to. He consumed death that we might live. He says, here, by His stripes you were healed. He consumed death that we're taken up in life. He became poor that we might be made rich. He came down from glory and clothed Himself with the likeness of sinful flesh. One time I had a problem with how in the world a scapegoat. Because I know being a goat's not a good thing, right? You don't want to be a goat. But I wondered how in the world a scapegoat could be a representative of Jesus Christ. How can a goat be a representative of Christ? That's never good. That can't be good. How is he a goat? Because our sins was placed upon him. That's how the lamb without spot and without blemish was made to be a goat, brethren. Do you understand that he left glory and came into this low ground of sin and sorrow and was laid in a feed trough? That's what a manger is, by the way. A feed trough. Wrapped in swaddling clothes. I bet if I go to your house, them babies has got some pretty... You know, we had a smock dress for our oldest boy. I thought he was going to be a girl, but anyway... We didn't really want to know, and they'd kind of hand around. Anyway, we had a beautiful smock dress for him to come on in. But we had some boy clothes before he left the hospital. But they didn't have clothes for Jesus Christ. They had just rags. That's what he was wrapped in. He was wrapped in rags, but you and I are clothed in righteousness. Oh, brethren, when you consider all the things, such contradiction of sinners. You know, that kind of helps us keep on keeping on, doesn't it? That helps us from getting weary and fainting in our minds when we understand, because we don't know what sacrifice is. Huh? I'm scared if I knew exactly what glory looked like, I'd be ready to go and be there right now, you know? I'm ready to be there right now, and I got little glimpses through the curtain, through the lattice, if you will, But to see it and behold it in all of its glory, and to behold God in all of His righteousness, and to leave that and to come here for such poor and unworthy sinners. But you see, in His eyes, you're peculiar and precious because you're His. Over in Numbers 5, if a man had a wife that he thought was unfaithful, he'd take her to the priest, and she said she had not been unfaithful. He'd take her to the priest, they'd take ashes off the floor, they'd put it in water, and fix it up. She was to drink it, if she was guilty, called her bed of the swell, a thigh to rot, that bitter cup would be death. Over in Jeremiah, we find that he says, I remained a faithful husband, although my covenant they break. But I'm going to tell you, we are unfaithful wives. Yet our faithful husband drank the bitter cup that you and I deserve to drink, brethren. Because it did not pass from him. He consumed it every whit, you understand, on our behalf. How much more should we praise him than the stones? How much more should we praise him than the cattle of the field and the creation he spoke into existence? You who were created by his call. Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, right? How are you in Christ? You're placed there by the Father. How is it revealed unto you? By the Holy Ghost, when Jesus Christ calls you from death and trespass sin to alive in Christ. How much more should we desire to serve Him than the cattle of the field? You know, I tried to tell my oldest son, he's a freshman in college this year, and I said, be prepared, because you're fixing to be bombarded by every heresy that's known to man. Get ready for it. You're going to face agnostic, atheist. You're going to face everything, Buddhism, Hinduism, any other ism you can imagine. Get ready for it, son. Great philosophers have wondered for years, for what purpose are we here? Why are we here? What are we here for? You know, I'm thankful God doesn't leave us ignorant concerning that. In Revelations, in the 4th chapter, the 10th verse, it says, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. I'm going to tell you, brethren, if we be in Christ, then we're a new creature. We're a new creation. Thank God, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And for His glory and His honor and His pleasure were we created. So when we go out and we face tomorrow and we face the coming year, let us be mindful of what name we bear about. Let us be mindful of what embassy we as ambassadors serve. You see, because it's a kingdom that reigneth forever and ever. And we bear about a name of our Lord and our Master and our King who reigneth forever and ever. And because we're precious and peculiar in His sight, thanks be unto God that we'll reign with Him in glory forever and ever and ever, being heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, we don't draw enough breath to praise Him. There's not enough hours in the day. So when we have a precious privilege and opportunity such as this, let us consider Him, that we not be wearied and faint in our minds and fall to some of the ites and isms of this old world, but gather together with the saints where our elder brothers promised to us that He'd be one in our midst, declaring the name of our Father unto us, His brethren, because He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Oh, may we gather with Him when we have opportunity. May we be found serving one another and showing love one to another. You know, you can say I love you all day long, but you can't show love one to another lest you're with one another. So in this coming year, let us seize every moment that we have time to spend with the saints and with our Lord, because for His glory and praise. And how many times do we see? How many times do we see how are we to love one another as He's loved us? How are we to forgive one another as He's forgiven us? How are we to serve one another as He served us? How are we to be found? We're to be found at one another's feet. Because the Lord of glory came down and washed us up and made us clean. We ought to be found at one another's feet, brethren. And I'm going to tell you, it's real hard to stab one another in the back when you're at one another's feet. It's real hard to do those things contrary, because the more time you spend with Jesus, oh man, the better you feel, I guarantee. The more time we spend with the Lord, I promise you, brethren, we're going to praise Him in all of eternity. Let's seize every moment that we have right here. May the Lord bless us our prayer.